Hello, my good friend, and welcome back to the LifeSpring Family Bible. Today we're going to read three chapters from the Gospel of John. We're going to read chapters 9, 10, and 11. And I found a Bible translation online that I think we're going to stay with for quite a while. It's called the World English Bible, or the Web Bible. It's public domain. It's a modern English translation, and from what I've been able to tell so far, it's very reliable, a very good translation, and it is public domain, and it's based on the web, the World Wide Web. So I think that's entirely appropriate to use for our podcast. So we'll begin now. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither did this man sin nor his parents, but that the works of God might be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground, made mud with the saliva, anointed the man's eyes with the mud, and said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went away, washed, and came back seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and those who saw that he was blind before, said, "Isn't this he who sat and begged?" Others were saying, "It is he." Still others were saying, "It looks like him." He said, "I am he." They, therefore, were asking him, "How were your eyes opened?" He answered, "A man called Jesus made mud, anointed my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to the pool of Siloam and wash.' So I went away and washed, and I received sight." Then they asked him, "Where is he?" He said, "I don't know." They brought him who had been blind to the Pharisees. It was a Sabbath when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Again, therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, I washed, and I see." Some, therefore, of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God because he doesn't keep the Sabbath." Others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such things?" There was a division among them. Therefore, they asked the blind man again, "What do you say about him, because he opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews, therefore, did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of him who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered them, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but how he now sees, we don't know, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. He is of age. Ask him. He will speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if any man would confess him as Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." So they called the man who was blind a second time and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He therefore answered, "I don't know if he's a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him again, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I told you already, and you don't listen. Why do you want to hear it again? You don't also want to become disciples, do you?" They insulted him and said, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we don't know where he comes from." The man answered them, "How amazing! You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he listens to him. Since the world began, it has never been heard that anyone opened the eyes of someone born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were altogether born in sins, and do you teach us?" They threw him out. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and finding him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" He answered, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and it is he who speaks with you." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, that those who don't see may see, and that those who see may become blind. Those of the Pharisees who were with him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin, but now you say, 'We see.' Therefore, your sin remains." Chapter 10. Jesus speaking. "Most certainly, I tell you, one who doesn't enter by the door into the sheepfold but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But one who enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Whenever he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. They will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they don't know the voice of strangers." Jesus spoke this parable to them, but they didn't understand what he was telling them. Jesus therefore said to them again, "Most certainly I tell you, I am the sheep's door. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters in by me, he will be saved, and will go in and go out and will find pasture. The thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and may have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who doesn't own the sheep, sees the wolf coming, leaves the sheep, and flees. The wolf snatches the sheep and scatters them. The hired hand flees because he is a hired hand and doesn't care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and I'm known by my own, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep which are not of this fold, and I must bring them also, that they will hear my voice. They will become one flock with one shepherd. Therefore the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No one takes it away from me, but I lay it down by myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. I received this commandment from my Father." Therefore a division arose again among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, "He has a demon and is insane. Why do you listen to him?" Others said, "These are not the sayings of one possessed by a demon. It isn't possible for a demon to open the eyes of the blind, is it?" It was the feast of the dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in Solomon's porch. The Jews therefore came around him and said to him, "How long will you hold us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you don't believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these testify about me. But you don't believe, because you are not of my sheep, as I told you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give eternal life to them. They will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Therefore, Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, "I've shown you many good works from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me?" The Jews answered him, "We don't stone you for a good work, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God." Jesus answered them, "Isn't it written in your law, 'I said, you are gods'? If he called them gods, to whom the word of God came and the scripture can't be broken, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, 'You blaspheme, because I said, I am the Son of God'? If I don't do the works of my Father, don't believe me. But if I do them, though you don't believe me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in the Father." They sought again to seize him, and he went out of their hand. He went away again beyond the Jordan into the place where John was baptizing at first, and there he stayed. Many came to him. They said, "John indeed did no sign, but everything that John said about this man is true." Many believed in him there. Chapter 11. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus from Bethany, of the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who had anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. The sisters therefore sent to him, saying, "Lord, behold, he for whom you have great affection is sick." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "The sickness is not to death, but for the glory of God, that God's Son may be glorified by it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When therefore he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let's go into Judea again." The disciples told him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just trying to stone you, and you're going there again?" Jesus answered, "Aren't there 12 hours of daylight? If a man walks in the day, he doesn't stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if a man walks in the night, he stumbles because the light isn't in him." He said these things, and after that he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going so that I may awake him out of sleep." The disciples therefore said, "Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he will recover." Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he spoke of taking rest in sleep. So Jesus said to them plainly then, "Lazarus is dead. I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, so that you may believe. Nevertheless, let's go to him." Thomas therefore, who was also called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, "Let's go also that we may die with him." So when Jesus came, he found that he had been in the tomb 4 days already. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 15 stadia away. Many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Then when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary stayed in the house. Therefore Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will still live, even if he dies. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I've come to believe that you are the Christ, God's Son, he who comes into the world." When she had said this, she went away and called Mary, her sister, secretly saying, "The teacher is here, and he's calling you." When she heard this, she arose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and were consoling her when they saw Mary, that she rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, "She's going to the tomb to weep there." Therefore, when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying, "Lord, if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died." When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews weeping who came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" They told him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. The Jews therefore said, "See how much affection he had for him?" Some of them said, "Couldn't this man who opened the eyes of him who was blind have also kept this man from dying?" Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. Now it was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see God's glory?" So they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you listen to me. I know that you always listen to me, but because of the multitude that stands around, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" He who was dead came out, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Free him and let him go." Therefore, many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what Jesus did believed in him, But some of them went away to the Pharisees and told them the things which Jesus had done. The chief priests, therefore, and the Pharisees gathered a council and said, "What are we doing? For this man does many signs. If we leave him alone like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." But a certain one of them, Caiaphas, being high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all, nor do you consider that it is advantageous for us that one man should die for the people, that the whole nation not perish." Now he didn't say this of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but that he might also gather together into one the children of God who are scattered abroad. So from that day forward they took counsel that they might put him to death. Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but departed from there into the country near the wilderness, to a city named Ephraim. He stayed there with his disciples. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand. Many went up from the country to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Then they sought for Jesus and spoke one with another as they stood in the temple. "What do you think, that he isn't coming to the feast at all?" Now the chief priests and the Pharisees had commanded that if anyone knew where he was, he should report it, that they might seize him. Well, the claims that Jesus is making about himself are very clear, aren't they? And the religious establishment of the day is not at all happy. And now they're beginning to plot against him, to kill him. Tomorrow we'll be reading chapters 11 and 12, and I look forward to seeing you then. Thanks for joining me today. My name is Steve Webb, and this has been the LifeSpring Family Bible. God bless you and have a great day.
This has been an In Touch Productions podcast.
The LifeSpring Media family of programs are made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. Thank you.